يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ جَاهِدِ الْكُفَّارَ وَالْمُنَافِقِينَ وَاغْلُظْ عَلَيْهِمْ وَمَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمُ وَبِئْسَ الْمَصِيرُ.
O Prophet, strive against the unbelievers and the hypocrites and be severe to them. Hell shall be their abode. What an evil destination.
O Prophet,
this marks the beginning of the third discourse of the surah, comprising verses 73 to 129, which was revealed after the expedition to Tabuk.
Strive against the unbelievers and the hypocrites, and be severe to them.
So far, the hypocrites had mainly been treated with tolerance and forbearance for two reasons. First, the Muslims could not afford to open a front against the enemies within while they were involved in a fight against the enemies without. Second, this policy was intended to provide an opportunity to those in the ranks of the hypocrites who were merely victims of doubt and skepticism, but were not incorrigibly corrupt. It was conceivable that some belonging to this category might attain genuine belief and conviction in Islam. Neither of these two reasons existed any longer. The Muslims held sway over virtually the whole of Arabia, and in fact a new phase of conflict with powers outside Arabia had just begun. To strike a severe blow at the enemy within had, therefore, become both possible and necessary. This step was necessary in order to prevent the internal enemies from collaborating with the external enemies and so create a difficult situation in the Muslim body politic. The hypocrites had already been granted respite for a full 9 years, during which time they had had every opportunity to see, think about, make their judgments on Islam. They could have made good use of this long period of respite if they had even the slightest ability to accept the truth. The Quran therefore declared that in addition to waging jihad against the unbelievers, the Muslims should also wage jihad against the hypocrites and should henceforth treat them severely. This declaration thus marked the end of the period of leniency shown to the hypocrites. The directive to wage jihad against the hypocrites and to show severity to them did not mean that Muslims should start a war against the hypocrites. Rather, the directive meant that Muslims should no longer be indulgent toward the hypocrites' nefarious activities. The previous policy of overlooking their hypocrisy had allowed the hypocrites to be considered by the generality of Muslims as part of the Muslim body politic, which in turn had enabled them to meddle in the affairs of the Muslim society and inject their poisonous influence into it. The present directive marked the end of that policy. From now on, if anyone adopted a hypocritical attitude whilst living in the midst of Muslims, their behavior clearly showed that they owed allegiance neither to God nor to the Prophet, peace be upon him. Such people should be fully exposed, be subjected to public censure, be deprived of the influence and authority they had enjoyed before, be socially ostracized, and be excluded from consultation in matters relating to the affairs of the Muslim community. Nor should their witness be accepted in the courts. They should also be barred from holding public office. No deference should be shown to them on social occasions. Muslims should treat them in a way which would make them realize they had lost their prestige in the Muslim society and that no Muslim held them in esteem. If any hypocrite committed treachery, no connivance should be shown to his crime. Rather, he should be tried publicly and be awarded a befitting punishment. This was a timely directive, for its absence could well have led to the disintegration of the Islamic society. For a community that breeds hypocrites and traitors in its midst and holds them in esteem will inevitably face moral degeneration and ultimately total destruction. Hypocrisy is like a plague, and the hypocrite is the carrier of those germs, infecting people all around. If the rats, hypocrites carrying the germs of plague, are allowed to move about freely, this would expose the entire population to grave risk. If hypocrites hold respectable positions in society, this might motivate others to follow suit and encourage them to commit downright treachery. Such a situation is likely to make many a person entertain the idea that sincerity, honesty, and true faith do not contribute to a person's success. All one has to do is make a verbal declaration of faith and then go about doing as one pleases, and nothing will prevent one from flourishing. The Prophet, peace be upon him, alluded to this pithily in one of his sayings. He who shows respect to one who introduces an innovation in Islam lends a hand to the demolition of Islam.
يَحْلِفُونَ بِاللَّهِ مَا قَالُوا وَلَقَدْ قَالُوا كَلِمَةَ الْكُفْرِ وَكَفَرُوا بَعْدَ إِسْلَامِهِمْ وَهَمُّوا بِمَا لَمْ يَنَالُوا وَمَا نَقَمُوا إِلَّا أَنْ أَغْنَاهُمُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ فَإِنْ يَتُوبُوا يَكُ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ وَإِنْ يَتَوَلَّوْا يُعَذِّبْهُمُ اللَّهُ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ وَمَا لَهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مِنْ وَلِيٍّ وَلَا نَصِيرٍ.
They swear by Allah that they said nothing blasphemous, whereas they indeed blasphemed, and fell into unbelief after believing, and also had evil designs which they could not carry into effect. They are spiteful against Muslims for no other reason than that Allah and His Messenger have enriched them through His bounty. So, if they repent, it will be to their own good. But if they turn away, Allah will sternly punish them in this world and in the hereafter. None in the world will be able to protect or help them.
That they said nothing blasphemous, whereas they indeed blasphemed.
There is no certainty about what constitutes the word of unbelief mentioned in the above verse. However, there are references in traditions to the many blasphemous utterances of the hypocrites. For example, a hypocrite is reported to have told his Muslim relatives, "If the message delivered by him, the Prophet, peace be upon him, is really genuine, then we are worse than donkeys." According to another report, during the expedition to Tabuk, when a she-camel of the Prophet, peace be upon him, went astray, and the Muslims set about searching for it, a group of hypocrites made much fun of the incident, saying to one another, "Just look at this man. He brings us news about the heavens, but cannot tell where his she-camel is."
And also had evil designs, which they could not carry into effect.
This alludes to the conspiracies contrived by the hypocrites during the expedition to Tabuk. One of these, according to traditionists, was that the hypocrites had planned to throw the Prophet, peace be upon him, into a ravine during his return from Tabuk. On learning of this evil design, the Prophet, peace be upon him, directed his army to take a longer route through the valley while he himself followed a shorter route together with Ammar bin Yasir and Hudhayfa bin al-Yaman. During his journey, the Prophet, peace be upon him, came to know that about a dozen masked hypocrites were in pursuit of him. As soon as this was known, Hudhayfa hastened towards them with the intention of driving them away. The hypocrites spotted this from afar and were afraid. In addition, fearing that they would be identified, they immediately took to their heels. Another conspiracy hatched by the hypocrites was that they secretly decided that as soon as the news would come that the Muslim army had been defeated by the Romans, they would install Abdullah bin Ubay as the ruler of Medina. They went about planning for this since they had not even a shred of doubt that the Muslim army was doomed.
They are spiteful against Muslims for no other reason than that Allah and His Messenger have enriched them through His bounty.
Prior to the migration of the Prophet, peace be upon him, Medina, Yathrib, was a small Arabian town, and the Aus and Khazraj, the two main clans inhabiting the town, did not enjoy any extraordinary position of authority or affluence. However, within 8 or 9 years of the Prophet's migration, during which the Ansar exposed themselves to every kind of risk and danger and extended their full support to the Prophet, peace be upon him, Medina became the capital of the whole of Arabia. The farmers belonging to the Aus and Khazraj clans became, as it were, the notables of the new society and administered the newly founded state. Medina was flooded with affluence as a result of the conquests made by the Muslims and the attendant overflow from the spoils of war and the prosperity of trade and commerce. Alluding to this, the Quran reproaches the hypocrites, who instead of being grateful to the Prophet, peace be upon him, through whom they had achieved such prosperity, directed their spite and anger towards him.
وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ عَاهَدَ اللَّهَ لَئِنْ آتَانَا مِنْ فَضْلِهِ لَنَصَّدَّقَنَّ وَلَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ.
Some of them made a covenant with Allah. If Allah gives us out of His bounty, we will give alms and act righteously.
فَلَمَّا آتَاهُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ بَخِلُوا بِهِ وَتَوَلَّوْا وَهُمْ مُعْرِضُونَ.
Then, when He gave them out of His bounty, they grew niggardly and turned their backs upon their covenant.
The ingratitude of the hypocrites, for which they were rebuked, see verse 74 above, is evident from their conduct. Reference has been made to this in order to emphasize that the hypocrites were a bunch of diehard criminals who lacked even the most rudimentary virtues such as gratefulness, acknowledgement of beneficence, and faithfulness to covenants.
فَأَعْقَبَهُمْ نِفَاقًا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ إِلَى يَوْمِ يَلْقَوْنَهُ بِمَا أَخْلَفُوا اللَّهَ مَا وَعَدُوهُ وَبِمَا كَانُوا يَكْذِبُونَ.
So, He caused hypocrisy to take root in their hearts and to remain therein until the day they meet Him, because they broke their promise with Allah and because they lied.
أَلَمْ يَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ سِرَّهُمْ وَنَجْوَاهُمْ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ.
Are they not aware that Allah knows what they conceal and what they secretly discuss, and that Allah has full knowledge even of all that is beyond the reach of perception?
الَّذِينَ يَلْمِزُونَ الْمُطَّوِّعِينَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فِي الصَّدَقَاتِ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَجِدُونَ إِلَّا جُهْدَهُمْ فيسخرون منهم سخر الله منهم ولهم عذاب أليم.
As for those who taunt the believers who voluntarily give alms and scoff at those who have nothing to give except what they earn through their hard toil, Allah scoffs at them in return. A grievous chastisement awaits them.
They scoff at those who have nothing to give except what they earn through their hard toil.
This refers to the stinginess of the hypocrites in response to the appeal of the Prophet, peace be upon him, to make contributions to the war fund on the occasion of the expedition to Tabuk. Not only that, they even made fun of the sincere believers when they gave generously. About each of them they had something to say. If wealthy Muslims donated a large amount, an amount which was in accord with or beyond their means, they accused them of insincere ostentation. And if the poor Muslims donated modest amounts out of their hard-earned income, they scoffed, saying, "Look, here is the farthing that will help conquer the forts of the Roman Empire."
استغفر لهم أو لا تستغفر لهم إن تستغفر لهم 70 مرة فلن يغفر الله لهم ذلك بأنهم كفروا بالله ورسوله والله لا يهدي القوم الفاسقين.
O Prophet, it is the same whether or not you ask for their forgiveness. Even if you were to ask for forgiveness for them 70 times, Allah shall not forgive them. That is, because they disbelieved in Allah and His Messenger, and Allah does not bestow His guidance on such evil-doing folk.